Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to try to finish up through verse 22, but again, to just recap quickly, in Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always, number one, with all prayer and supplication, number two, this is how we've broken it down, in the Spirit, number three, wherewithal, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we got the perseverance, we to pray for all saints. And we, as we think about this, the subject of prayer, again, we have mentioned the whole idea of the secret weapon of prayer. And you recall this past Lord's Day, Jonah was looking towards God's holy temple. And if you recall, in Psalms 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you know, it's a great thing to have protection when you're in a battle. And that's exactly, this is a reference to prayer, that we have a place of protection. When you have a fortified, strong tower like our God, and in His very presence, that keeps us really from being captured, and as it were. If you notice there in Job chapter 42 and verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When did that happen? When he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So the secret to freedom, to liberty, and unshackled blessings, to not be a prisoner of war, is to pray. Prayer is a great thing. When there's nobody else around, when there's no other believer to encourage you, when you may not even have your Bible right there or some other kind of reference or a track or whatever it might be, you can always go to the Lord in prayer. Now, what we want to look at this time is some specifics. Remember, I talked about how that we ought to pray not just in generalities. Oh, I pray for the whole world and I hope that everybody's saved and all God's people. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm just simply saying that there is a need for specifics. And there are specific things that we need to pray about. And we see that all over, sprinkled all over the Scriptures. And so we had dealt with, for whom should we pray? And we see Paul given a specific here in verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, if the Apostle Paul needed prayer about this matter, and if we look at Spurgeon, he had said the secret to his success, he would point them when they would go and visit the place. He would refer them to God's grace and to the fact that the church there had faithfully and fervently prayed for him. When visitors would come to the church, he would take them to the basement prayer room where people were always on their knees before and after services praying for the ministry of the Word before and after the services. And he said, this is the powerhouse of this church. speaking of the prayer, the means of grace that God would use. So if the Apostle Paul, now notice Paul, this wasn't the only time. It wasn't just in Ephesians chapter 6 that we see Paul asking for prayer, but we see it in Romans chapter 15 verse 30, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11, Colossians 4, 3 through 4, Philippians 1, 19, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 28, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 2, Philemon 1, and 22, and Hebrews 13, 18. I think Paul believed in prayer, don't you? That he would ask for prayer over and over and over again. He recognized the power of prayer. And if the Apostle Paul needed prayer that bad, if Spurgeon needed prayer that bad, I know I need prayer. I need prayer. I was just praying this today about how that so easily we get so fickle. We feel up and then we feel down, and we feel hot and then we feel cold. I mentioned that this past Lord's Day. And I need your prayers. I need your prayers. If I God gives me grace to preach, and if I preach in a way where God gives me liberty, doesn't mean that the next second I might need your prayer that God would help me to hold me up, to give me the strength, to give me the boldness, as Paul has mentioned here. So pray for your pastor. It's a biblical thing, and I appreciate it. And I know that you all pray for me, and I appreciate that. And thank God there's that we're in a church where that happens. But I just encourage you to continue. When things are going well, and when things are not going well, when it seems like everything's kind of coasting along, I still need your prayers. Because I know from times I wasn't pastoring, and times I am pastoring, I know that the attack of the enemy is greatly intensified when you come into the pastorate, when you enter this pulpit. Satan has his crosshairs on you. He would love, he knows that if he would get the pastor, that he would do much damage to the church. And so, please pray for me. Amen. As I see my need for it. And let me pick up my notes here. They fell off in all of my excitement here. But we see that Paul says, after bringing up the idea of spiritual warfare can be waged on the behalf of others, he asked the church there at Ephesus to pray for him. Now, notice, what's his prayer? That utterance may be given unto me. The idea behind utterance is that there would be clarity. There would be clarity behind what he said. And then he goes on further, that I may open my mouth boldly. Paul asked for prayer that he might proclaim the gospel, the word of God, with clarity and with a fearless power. Now, it's easy to go compromise on both of them. To be intimidated. I mean, the great Apostle Peter was intimidated. Or to not be so clear because you're intimidated. To not be crystal clear, where there's no mistake whatsoever, and speak in generalities. And Paul was in a situation. But he wanted to open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He could have asked many other things for them to pray about, but this was what he had in mind, uppermost in his mind, and no doubt he had the idea that he was going to stand before the Roman government in the courts there and give an account of why he was there. This was his most thing that just filled his mind was that he would be a good testimony to the grace of God, to this great door that was opened unto him. He knew there were many adversaries, but God had opened this door. And he wanted to be faithful. He may not see the fruit immediately, but he knows that the Word of God shall not return unto God void. It's going to accomplish that which he has destined it to accomplish. But there in verse 20, it says, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly." Here he goes again. He's emphasizing that I might speak boldly, that I might speak boldly, that I might speak boldly, that I wouldn't hem-haw around, that I wouldn't beat around the bush, but I would make it very clear where the truth of the gospel is concerned, as I ought to speak. As I ought to speak. Now, there's a lot of things, again, Paul could have prayed. He could have prayed, "Lord, you all pray for me. This dungeon, this place is horrible, and I don't have the liberties that I used to have before I was in prison. That I could have a little bit more comfort and a little bit more conveniences, that I might be encouraged, that I might, these shackles that are on my wrists and on my ankles, that the chafing and the bleeding that's caused by these shackles would somehow, that chafing, that bleeding would be relieved." He didn't ask that. He's a man of God that is called to preach the Word of God, to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that the eternal souls of people could be saved, so that God's people would be encouraged. That was what was on his heart. And I believe that every God-called minister of Jesus Christ has that in their heart. They're burdened with that in their hearts. And that is my prayer, that I would be faithful to death that I part, that I would be faithful. But notice, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds." Now obviously this means the shackles that he had. But you do know that the ambassadors wore these things on the wrists and around their neck and so forth. That was a status symbol that they were ambassadors. No doubt Paul considered it an honor to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That he would suffer shame for his name. That he would be identified with Jesus Christ, who was what? He was brought before Pilate. He was, as it were, a prisoner. And so Paul thought it a great honor to be like his Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one thing is about speaking boldly. And it's a request he mentions twice. Because can you imagine being in that same situation that Paul was in, where torture was a reality, where others being hurt or tortured because of what you say is a reality. But he was called to preach the gospel. And that's a reality too. We got to be obedient to our calling. So boldness in speech is a very difficult thing, but a very necessary thing, even for those who may suffer as a result of it. Even for those who are without Christ. But it says, "As I ought to speak." Boldness is what Jesus Christ, who boldly, as he set his forehead there as a flint to go to Jerusalem, as he went, as it were, and actually as a joy set before him. That's what he deserves. He deserves preachers preaching boldly. He deserves nothing less than preachers preaching boldly. Satan, again, is going to direct his arsenal at the pastor, at the spiritual leader. He will either make him proud or make them cowardly. He will either make them discouraged or make him overconfident. Whatever it takes to keep him from preaching boldly. Whatever situation to undermine, to weaken, to distract a man of God in the ministry of reconciliation and the ministry of feeding the flock of God and edifying the church, that he would give himself to the ministry of the word and prayer. Whatever it takes, the enemy is going to try to stop it. Because if the church isn't fed like it needs to be fed, the church is going to be weakened. So he can accomplish much with one shot at the pastor. And that's why I need your prayers. Paul, again, was more concerned of the glory of Christ and the truth of Christ to be made known and the saints be equipped in the battle than his own physical well-being. He knew that someone bigger than himself, someone bigger than what was going on around him, was working all things to good, for his good and for the good of all saints. It says there in Philippians 1:12, it says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." This is what Paul rejoiced in. He didn't concentrate on his problems. He didn't have a pity party or a pouting party. We ought to pray one for another. Please pray for your pastor that the heavy burden of preaching the word. We're living in a time where imprisonment and persecution are a reality. Going online, publishing sermons, going in the open air, going door to door, wherever it might be, even in here. They're going to hear what I say and take me off to prison. That's a reality now. I need your prayers now. Because it's not easy. I don't want to have to leave my wife. I need your prayers. We live in days of darkness and times of trouble when people don't listen to the Word of God. They don't obey the Word of God. They rebel against the Word of God. They persecute you because you preach the Word of God. And if Jeremiah got discouraged because people wouldn't hear the Word of God, and if Elijah got discouraged because people wouldn't hear the Word of God and were persecuting him and threatening him because he was preaching the Word of God, and if Paul the Apostle got discouraged in Corinth and was going to quit at Corinth, and if Peter got discouraged and denied the Lord 3 times and decided to go fishing, then I know the possibility is real that it could happen to me. And I don't want that to happen. I'm a man of like passions like anybody. Amen. That's why I need your prayers. Probably don't talk to pastors as much as I talk to pastors. But I've heard their cries and for private prayer. And I've made some mention of my pleas for prayer to them as well. Sometimes we cannot mention everything we would like to mention because some things are confidential, serious issues, and have to resort to generalities in some ways, generally praying about an important matter. Sometimes a pastor feels reluctant to ask for prayers because he doesn't want to discourage other people too much by mentioning his own struggles. Sometimes, actually, people criticize the pastor for bringing up prayer, saying he's whining, he's he's being trying to get attention, trying to gain sympathy. I've heard these kinds of things from other pastors. What's happening in their church? So the next time that you're tempted to speak against another pastor, or even this pastor, God forbid, out loud to somebody else, to where you diminish the power of the Word and encourage division, think about the fact that you may not have all the facts. Think about the fact that you may only have partial of the facts, because you don't know exactly what's going on, because he can't talk about exactly what's going on. Pray for your pastor instead. But notice there in verse 21, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do." Now we're coming back to specifics. Pray for me, but I'm going to let you know the specifics later. Okay? The most important thing I've already laid out to you. I'm going to let you know some other things later through Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. We see an example of Spurgeon doing that very same thing concerning his difficulties. He wrote to his congregation, "Dear friends, the furnace still blows around me. Since I last preached you, I have been brought very low. My flesh had been tortured with pain, and my spirit has been prostrate with depression. You do pray for me, I know, but I entreat you not to cease your supplications. I am as a potter's vessel when it is utterly broken and useless and laid aside. Nights of watching and days of weeping have been mine, but I hope the cloud is passing in this relative trial, a very keen one. I again ask your prayers. The Lord be with you evermore. Amen." He had struggles. Oh, he was a very gifted man, very eloquent speaker, enjoyed much success. You wouldn't think he'd have some kind of struggles like that, but he did. He did. Paul, knowing about praying for specifics and not just generality, he mentions, and we'll deal with this next time as we close this epistle out, that Tychicus was an Asian believer, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 4, and he was called to accompany those who were sending relief offering the church at Jerusalem. He was a beloved brother, a faithful minister that during Paul's first Roman imprisonment was often called by the Apostle Paul to minister to the saints. And Paul, again, would get the details through Tychicus. Verse 22, "whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs." Here we go again. He knew that they cared. They wanted to know the details. They wanted to pray the details. "And that he might comfort your hearts." A proven, seasoned minister to help. Again, Paul was concerned about helping people. There, notice with Paul, Paul prays for them in Ephesians 1:16, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He's proven his love and his care for them, because he's going to send somebody. He couldn't go himself, but he sends somebody else in this place. He would have loved to have gone, but he was in prison. Now, you know, that just goes to show you, when somebody is willing to go the second mile, who they can't do something, they'll get somebody else or find some other way to minister to other people. That's the kind of pastor's heart that the Apostle Paul had. He didn't much care who did it, as long as someone did it. He didn't care who got the credit. He just wanted people to be ministered to and to help. We see that, that repeatedly in Scripture, that prayer is a walkie-talkie for warfare, not a domestic intercom for increasing our conveniences. The point of prayer is empowering us for the mission that we have. And so I want to ask the question, are you praying always? Are you always in the spirit of prayer? Are you praying all with all prayer and supplication? Do you have to have the spirit of unburdening your heart constantly before God? You know, I was reading about Spurgeon and how that he only prayed about 5 minutes. And he didn't go 5 minutes without praying. When he was awake, obviously. I mean, that you can pray while you're doing things and be praying to God. That's what it means to be praying always, to be in that spirit of prayer, to be in communion with God. Are you praying in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? There David said in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Are you practicing the presence of God? Are you praying for all saints, especially those in the church, on a regular, weekly, daily basis? Are you praying for your pastor? There is that secret power in spiritual warfare, this prayer. You can have all that armor on that you want, but without prayer, you're like a car without oil, bird without wings, ship that's not in the water. We need to be praying and depending upon God. Putting on the whole armor of God. We need to arm ourselves, yes, but we need to go forward on our knees, to go forward in the power of the Spirit. We need to go forward in the spirit of prayer. We notice that the last prayer in the Bible is the next to the last verse in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so," here's the prayer, "even so come, Lord Jesus." When Jesus returns, did you know prayer is not going to be ended? You know, a lot of times we would say, "Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer." What is prayer? Communion with God. We're still going to be communing with God in heaven. We're still going to be praising Him. We won't be confessing any sin, thankfully. We'll be thanking Him. And I don't know whether we're going to bring any supplications or questions or whatever. But the bottom line is, we're still going to be communing with God. So that when we go to the Lord in prayer, it is a taste of heaven. That's why the Scriptures talk about, that I mentioned there in Psalms 91:1, that he that dwelleth in the secret place Most High dwelleth under the shadow of the Almighty. And then also we see that we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When we go to the Lord in prayer especially, it's into His what? Into His very presence, into the very throne of God's grace to obtain grace to help in our time of need. It's a taste of heaven. It's a taste of heaven. And I tell you, I mean, can you imagine what it would do for a soldier? Just an ordinary buck private in the army. To be able to go into the presence of some great general. Let's just pick Patton or Eisenhower. We know any kind of general you can think of. What a great encouragement would be. A boost and shot in the arm. If that soldier could receive those encouraging words, to have communion, to be able to be there with that general before he goes out to battle, he's going to be encouraged. He's going to be filled with courage because he's spoken to the general. He's spoken to the commander. And think about it, if you could go to a commander-in-chief. We get to go to the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. We get to go into the presence of God. The place of peace that passes all understanding. A joy unspeakable. And it's an absolute necessity for us who are called as soldiers of the cross. Again, pray for me. Paul, many others. He was a very wise man. a very gifted man, a impeccably moral man, a zealous man. But look at all the times he asked him, please pray for me, pray for me, please pray for me. And I know Paul needed it. I sure enough do need it. So ask your prayers. Thank you for your prayers that you've prayed already. But please don't give up. And as the battle intensifies, and as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, as we seek to more and more, as we see the day approaching, to make Christ known, I really need your prayers. That being said, let's go ahead and close.